message for the Bethel UMC for December 7th, 3, 2, and 1. Well, welcome to the online version of the message for December the 7th. Can you imagine? It's a kind of a hard time to understand about all the things that, you know, World War II started on December the 7th, but then we also have some wonderful news. We won that war. Fortunately, God was with us, and He is with us. And now that it's Advent, wow, we stay in a constant state of Advent, waiting for the Lord to return. But now it's the time to prepare ourselves for God's grand entry into the world as we know it. Now, we have history on our side, so we know that it happened, and that is wonderful. God literally parted our image of reality and materialized in human form among us. God is with us. What an amazing phenomena. It's no wonder that it takes a mind shift to wrap our heads around what theologians call God's incarnation. Theologians are nothing more people that study thoughts about God. We all have a theology because we all have individual thoughts about God. Amen? So what are we really doing then is acknowledging the occurrence of this new reality, God with us, or God is with us. I like it that way because I know He is with me every day of my life, and He can be with you too, and I hope that He is. After all, the actual incarnation happened many years ago. But, I love the buts and the ifs, as you know, but God's new reality remains that is if we are willing to accept and embrace it. So, if we do embrace God's dynamic breakthrough into history, then we are assigned God's enormous presence and power, the supernatural finesse, if you would. God is with us. And it changes not only our psychological and our spiritual landscape, but our grasp of the physical world. It means that we must also embrace Jesus as more than just a historical figure or the past or even a great teacher. We must accept that developing a close and intimate relationship with Him is possible. Not only that, but allowing God to shift our mind's eye. We will mean that we will undergo a radical and transformational change. What will it mean then? Well, we don't know, and that's exactly what makes it such a hard thing for us to grasp. You know, there's a Greek word, and you know me, I don't like to try to pronounce Greek words because they're messy, but I got a book to tell me what these Greek words mean when I come across, and this Greek word is assigned to the concept of repentance, which actually means a mind shift, a change of mind, or a change of heart. So when we experience this change, our minds undergo the kind of tectonic shift. You know, like, here we go. That can entirely rearrange our inner landscape and our sense of truth and awareness and our humble identity within a world that challenges us to see beyond ourselves. Our sensory experience, to understand that spiritual growth and inner peace, shalom, if you would, that's the peace, and a relationship with Jesus, and it'll grow profoundly in our vision, in our lives, and that will change the way that we see things and the way that we treat others. Praise be to God. Now, this is what John the Baptist, known as a prophet, who was willing to call out, and his voice rang through the wilderness of the barren and dusty hearts of the people of that day. In 2006, a renowned Stanford psychologist by the name of Carol Dweck came out with a book called Mindset. Now, in the book, she illustrated what human beings bring, the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. So when we retain a fixed mindset, we can stymie our growth, relying instead on stubborn belief patterns that will allow us to remain unchallenged. Well, those with a fixed mindset often rely on rituals or traditions that allow them to promote an image of success. On the other hand, Those who develop a growth mindset are not afraid to fail or show vulnerability or authenticity and transparency, because growth mindset people are not afraid to fail. And as they learn to use these failures and learning opportunities for growth and change, they have no need of promoting an image. But their humble openness to change allows them to see beyond their current mindset and to embrace a new one. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about, isn't it? But how does one move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset? Now, sometimes it involves some kind of cognitive awakening, if you would. Something that one would encounter or experience that provokes a cognitive shift. I like to call it a twist and shift, and Jesus was brilliant at that. And this was the purpose of his healing and his parables. But, you know, I love the buts and the if. Before Jesus' arrival, John the Baptist experienced his prophetic warning and began the process. He made sure that everyone who came for this new ritual of baptism understood that this was not meant to be a simple act of repentance. No, it was a simple verbal commitment to God, but it also needed a total mind shift, a life-changing thing that would result in feeling cleansed by the waters of baptism and a renewing of the Spirit, in a new and a different behavior. Genuine change, if you would. And with that change, the new way of seeing the world and God and self and others would come with a new way of living and acting out a new mindset. And as that result put us on a new path, one's heart would know peace, shalom. Well, in a sense, I think John's call is a call and challenge of authenticity to let go of empty traditions, actionless values, and to accept a truly relational faith, one in which real incarnate God is willing to encounter us face to face, our best friend, you know, we've been talking about that now for weeks, in order to teach us and to guide us and to heal us and to lead us and to grow in ways that we could never imagine. So in doing so, we'll be expected not only to have a faith, but to practice faith in ways that further God's vision for all humanity. To love, to give, to share, to mentor, to care for, to empathize with, and to accept and to cherish each other the same way that we cherish God. John's message is a shock. It's a shock message to him. And we must acknowledge the challenge ourselves and the faith that we claim to hold, because his baptism with water was simply a symbol of people's commitment to make a change. But the real change would be affected by the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, whose winnowing fork will determine the state of a person's heart. No one who merely fools around at faith will fool around with the Son of God. We meet. So what John would start with his call, Jesus was finished with his powerful healings and his teaching. Those who would find it hard to turn around would need this powerful hand of God in the person of Christ to twist and shift, if you would, and their point of view, and to shock them back into the fold. After all, Jesus was the great shepherd of all of the fold. Amen. But John and Jesus knew that the human mind is not easily rearranged. People are not easily convinced of things that require them to change their action and their purpose. No, especially when it involves media or money and power and all of that stuff that we are exposed to today. But for those whose minds and heart would be pierced by Jesus' powerful presence, they would change. Many would. And the world would never be the same in Jesus' name. So this world would undergo a shift like nothing that anyone has ever experienced before. And the fruit of those seeds planted in those days when John began preaching and calling about repentance would spread like wildfire. Once the movement was called, Hold on, here it is. The way. Jesus was the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. And it's with any other movement. John's initial call would merely set the tone for what was to come. Jesus had been born 30 years before, and the time of waiting was almost over. The prophecy would be fulfilled, and the one that Isaiah had foretold about, God has broken through, and now change would come. Oh, praise be to God. But John's question to everybody was, will you want to be a part of it? And that's a question that remains for us as well, this 2,000 plus years from the time that John was in the wilderness. For Christ continues to move in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And how much change we would allow depends upon us. Now, some of God's faith will remain fixed in their ways. That happens. And traditions and images will fall away like the chaff that rises with the wind of time. But some of God's faithful will ride on the wings of an eagle. The Holy Spirit will embrace the chaos and unpredictability of faith and will rise to the challenge of repentance, and we will allow God to effect within them the lasting change. When the Spirit moves, amazing things happen. The Spirit of transformation is with you and I every day, calling us to shift our mind into God's direction. My question for all of us is, will you allow Christ in your mind and heart? If you do, the seeds of your faith will fall upon everybody that you meet, and the world will change. Praise be to God. This is what John knew, and this is what Jesus does. That's why we come today on the first Sunday of the month and we take time to remember what Jesus done for us. Through the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, we remember, because we have history on our side, what it means to be having a love relationship with Jesus. Holy Communion. Wow, the table is set. Come and share that great experience and tell everyone that Jesus Christ is born.